Hartman learned and grew up in Eretz Yisrael, and was the Rebbe in what's the name of the school? Hasmonean
in London.
In London, has been in London for the last 5 years, and many around these tables, probably without even realizing it, whenever you pick up a Maharal and you read the Parish, you read the commentary, it's by Rabbi Hartman, and really has a tremendous amount to offer, and it's a special covenant and privilege for our yeshiva to be able to host Rabbi Hartman today to hear Divrei Torah from him.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Okay, Shalom Aleichem, what I say. What I want to do is today, I was told by the Rosh Hashiva, Shlita, that the Maharal really hasn't made it yet in YU, in the Yeshiva University, because it's a, you know, Eilu ve'Eilu Divrei Kimchaim. So I want to take a classical Maharal, which is probably one of the most known ones, and to build it up, and Metz Hashem, it's also pertaining to Shavuos, which is in Metz Hashem tomorrow night. I just want to start off with a story. There's a Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, the Briska Yeshiva, who's called Avram Yeshua Soloveitchik. He is a grandson of the Briska Rav. And I met him only once, meanwhile, in my life. It just happens to me, even though I live in Yerushalayim, and he's in Yerushalayim. And about 14 years ago, there was an engagement party, and the Baal HaSimcha asked me to take him home. So I took him home. Now I know that the Briskers are into Kachim. And so I wanted to share with them the board of the Maharal in Kachim. I spoke to him in Hebrew, and he understands Hebrew perfectly. He answered me back in Yiddish. Okay, that was the Chalukah. So I told him, the Maharal says on the Mishnah in Horias, it says, Kohen Godol Makriv Oinen, Ve'eino Oichel Oinen. That the Ged of Oinen is someone that won the Shiva Kroivim from the Mishpacha, was Nifter. From the time of the death to the time of the burial, he's called Oinen. And he intrinsically is Potter from Kol HaTorah Kula. And a regular Kohen may not do any Avoida while he's Oinen. But a Kohen Godol, yes. Makriv oinen. He offers korbanos even when he's an oinen. Ve'eino oichel oinen. But he doesn't eat the korbanos as an oinen. That's a Mishnah in Horias, which implies, El-Khura, that hakrava is more lenient than achila. Because hakrava, you allow him to do, and achila, he may not do. Now, anybody who learned a little bit kachim knows, it's usually the opposite. Hakrava is a lot more chomer than achila. A balnum can't do an avoida, but he could do an achila. So why over there in that Mishnah in Horias, it's the opposite. That a Kohen Gadol is permitted to do an akrava, and he is not permitted to do an achila. So the Maharal says, I'll tell you a shot. For sure, hakrava is more chomer than the achila, even by a Kohen Gadol. Hi, so why is he permitted to do an akrava and not to do an achila? The difference is not between akrava and achila, rather the difference is the function of this gavra, of the man, of the kohen gadol. When he's makriv, he's functioning as a kohen gadol. The araya he's wearing, the shmein of gadol. When he's eating, there's no eating of a kohen gadol. There's eating of a kahuna. There's no special role of kohen gadol by achila. It's noital barosh, it's a din chaluka, not a din achila. The heter of aninus was said only to someone who's a Kohen Gadol. But once he's not functioning anymore as a Kohen Gadol, and that's when he's Oichel, so he's in a regular category of a regular Kohen, and the Heta of Aninus is not applicable to a regular Kohen. So the difference between Hakrava and Achila is not Hakrava Achila, rather his functioning. And when he when he's Makriv, he's functioning as a Kohen Gadol. When he's Oichel, he's not wearing Shemoyin of Gadim, he's not functioning as a Kohen Gadol. That's what the Maharal says. So Rav Yehoshua Soloveitchik tells me, there's all this. I said, the Gemara. El Kedruk Suzamin mit Rav Leon Mizrahi. Is it printed on the same page with Rav Leon Mizrahi and the Levush Aira? We want to make sure we're speaking about the same one. You know, where the world that I come from is like a little bit saying, the Magid Mishnah, he's so chashah because he's printed together on the same page with the Maharal Kukus. Yeah, the Magid Mishra. I said, yeah, yeah, there's also the Bushara. I don't believe it. That's how the Maharal talks. I thought he's like a philosopher. Into numbers. Like spooky stuff. That's how he talks? I said, absolutely. Tell me another one. Oh, there's a. Tell me another one. I asked him in Kochim? Yeah, in Kochim. I said, okay, fine. The last mission of Chagiga says that we did not allow the Kohanim to touch the Shulchan during the Yomtev, during the Moed, because even though B'Shas HaYomtev, everybody's B'cheskes Kashrus, B'cheskes Tara, after the Yomtev, we're Choshesh L'mafreya that they're Tameh, and then if they touch the Shulchan, if they touch the Shulchan, we're going to have to be Toivel the Shulchan, and if we're going to have to be Toivel the Shulchan, it won't be functioning constantly like it should, because it says Lechem Lefonam Tomei. 24/7, the Shulchan has to carry the Lechem. And if it's done, if you're going to have to travel in the mikvah, you're going to, it will stop. Asks the Gemara, according to Rashi's Girsan, what about Menorah? Also by the Menorah, it says Tamid. La Lois Ner Tamid. Also in this expression. Answers the Rashi, well, Tamid by Menorah doesn't mean 24/7, it just means on a regular basis. You only light it during the night, not during the day. So during the daytime, you can take it to the mikvah without any problem. Ask Stasis over there on the spot, the name Rabbeinu Elchanan, and what about Ne'emar Ravi? He brings the Sifra that Ne'emar Ravi is 24/7 as well. And if you're going to be traveling in the mikveh, you won't be able to do the Ne'emar Ravi tummy. That's what Stasis asks. And he mentioned the kasha. Answers the Maharal, it's not a kasha. There's a difference between the tummy of the Shulchan and the Tamid of the menorah, even if it's referring to Ne'emar Ravi. What's the difference? The Tamid of a Shulchan, says the Maharal, is a din in the Shulchan. Like the Shulchan has 4 feet, the Shulchan has various parts, the Shulchan has to carry on it the bread 24/7. That's what the Shulchan has to do. The Tamid by the menorah is not a din in the menorah, it's a din in the Adlaka. What's the proof? Parshas Truma, which is speaking about making the kelim of the Mishkan before they're functioning, so to speak, before the Mishkan functions, it says over there to do a shulchan. It says over there in Parshas Truma that should be a lechem lefonai tamid. However, by the menorah in Parshas Truma it says gviya kaftorea prachea, but it doesn't say to light a candle. That's only in the next parsha, Tetzaveh, this week's parsha, Ba'aloisra. The ner, that look, the ner is not a din in the menorah, it's a din in the adlaka. Once you have a menorah, you should light a candle 24/7. But there's no din to have a menorah 24/7. Masha'enke by the shulchan, it's a din to have a shulchan 24/7. And therefore, if you're going to take the shulchan into the mikveh, it won't be functioning like what it should be functioning. So there's a difference between a tamid of the menorah and a tamid of the shulchan. That the tamid of the shulchan is a din in the shulchan, and the tamid of the menorah is a din in the hadlaka, not in the menorah. I said this over to Rav Yeshua. Bells up, bells. Who says this? So the grind. Grind? Like it looks zusammen. It's again the same thing. It's the other. I don't believe that. That's how we talk. That's our language. A din in the menorah, a din in the hadlaka, a din in the shulchan. That's how the world talks. Tell me one more. One little more. There's a, Rashi said, and Chumash brings it down, that we know that a oif, a mechusa ev is pasul. Right? Ask Christ, what do you need a pasuk for it? On a behema, not oif, I'm sorry, a behema. Mechusa ev is pasul. Goy can't bring a mechusa ev. But it was said already to Noach that he can't bring a mechusa ev. And whatever is usur for a goy is for sure usur for a yid. So why do you need a special pasuk to say that a Jew cannot bring a behema which is mechusa ev? Just ask this in Kiddush and Daf Kav Dal. Answers the Maharal, I'll tell you why. If you would have learned it from a goy, it would have been a goyish psul. Now that it's written by Jews, it's converted to a Jewish psul. What's the difference if it's a goyish psul or a Jewish psul? If it's a goyish psul, it's not called mum, because there's no psul mumim by a goy. If it's converted to a Jewish psul, it has a din of a mum. And a mechusa ever is also a psul of a blemish, of a mum. Goyim don't have mumim. We do. What's a nafkamina if it's a mum or not a mum? There's a gemara in Tmura that says if you're magdish a bal mum, you're over in chamisha shemois, chamisha malkas. And you have the gemara that learned about magdish a mincha, magdish a silas, which was makliya. Are you over or not? If you're magdish a mechusa over, are you over in chamisha shemois? If it has a din of a mum, yes. If not, not. If you'd have learned it from a goy, it would have had a din of a mum, because goyim don't have a parsha of mumim. But now that it's written by us, especially by a Jew, by Am Yisrael, it's giving a chalois mum to it, and once it's a chalois mum, it has the pasos of a mum, and therefore if you're magdish a behema, which is b'chus ha'ever, it's like magdish a behema, which is a balas mum, and you're over in chamisha shemais. And therefore the Torah had to rewrite it by Jews. Rav Avraham Yeshua was about to faint. Mamish Batman's faint. I said, I never knew that. No one ever told me that he talks like that. I don't believe it. Next time, whenever you have a word like this of the morale, please come and tell me. That's what he tells me. I never took him upon that. And I was told by his Talmidim, you know, he's like brisk, that the most excited thing that you could tell him, if you tell him something great, he'll say, the best thing you could have gotten out of him would be nunu. That's how it goes. If he's very happy with the board, they say, nunu. And here he just like exploded. So I pushed him with it. Now here, Rabbi, I want to tell you this secret. When the Maharal is speaking in the other areas, he's also saying the same logos. Bidiuk. Just when it comes to the halacha area, we have a little bit of a training. And we have a little bit of a chinuch. And we know to define what's lumdas, what's a swara, what's called a din, and here he's functioning as a kohen gadol, here he's not functioning as a kohen gadol, this is a din in the menorah, it's a din in the shulchan, it's a pasos of mum. It's the same mind that said this, what all the others run. He's Chas Hashem to sing his praises, we're not allowed to. Lumdus per excellence, yes or not? Lumdus per excellence. Once you get used a little bit to his style and to his terminology, you'll see it. It's just unbelievable. I'm too small to say it, but my Rebbe Reb Moshe Shapira, like I said, there's no one who opened up the world of Chazal like the man did. He told me in Hebrew, lo lefanav v'lo lacharav. No one who opened up the world and the treasures of Chazal like the man did. And that was his goal his whole life, really, to show that there's no like Chazal. Not one. Not one drasha isn't amazing, says Amaral. There's not one drasha which isn't oimek pshat, oimek drash, and oimek emes. Not one drasha of Chazal. It's such kavod atoyah when you learn the Amaral and you see what he takes the Chazal and the way he builds it and shows it. And he says, when people say the word, that's a drush. So how does it sound by us when we say it? Oh, because of that drush. How does it sound by us? He said something cute for Shas Yudas. Right? The Maharal says the word drasha comes from the word lidrosh v'lachkor, to investigate and to get into it. And it's a deeper level of pshat. There's no baba maisis in Chazal. No baba maisis. There's no Chazal which is unbelievably rich and has such a message to say to everyday life. I'll give you a few Chazals that we all know. I don't think we won't have time to go into this one, into them. I just want to give you a few examples. And then I want to go into the one that the famous Maharal, which is Nogiat Teshuvos. I'm going to tell you a Chazal that we all know. I'm going to say it like a 5-year-old, and then I want to ask you a few questions on it. This we spoke about, right, in Shabbos. You know, one night, Yaakov Avinu was so tired. You can't remember how tired he was. He didn't sleep for 14 years. He didn't have bags under his eyes. His whole house was a bag. If we don't sleep on a Shabbos afternoon, look how we look like. So he didn't sleep for 14 years. So he went to sleep. And those days they didn't have pillows. So he put stones on his head. Okay. The stones started to fight. Allah yaneach tzadik et rosho. And the other stone says, no, Allah yaneach tzadik et rosho. So Kadosh Baruch Hu told the stones, it's not nice to fight. And he made all the stones into one. And they lived happily ever after. Could you say this Chazal to a secular Jew without blushing? Could you bring out to some degree a Chazal that should make real sense? Maybe less. Who says? Maybe Chazal is understood. I'm sorry, it's understood. Kipshutai. It's not Kipshutai. First of all, Chazal say that Yaakov, you know, every night he went to sleep, he had this thing every night. Stones every night became one. Chazal say it happened only that night. It didn't happen with Abraham. It didn't happen with Yitzchak. It didn't happen with Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, there were other big people. We never heard a story of stones with them. Could stones fight? Stones at Kroch Adib? What does this Chazal mean? What does it mean? So a five-year-old that understands it like a five-year-old is legitimate. But once you're older and you're in computers, you're a big maybe. And in biology, you're a gun. It can't be that when it comes to the stories of Chazal, we remain five-year-olds. Is there any oimik that I could add to this Chazal? According to the Maral, this whole Chazal is bringing out the Madriga of Yaakov Avinu. I'm not going to tell it to you now. Again, you'll buy the set. You'll buy the set. But the point being is, it can't be that Chazal will be understood as we understood it in kindergarten. And we remain with the same Avona. In other areas of Torah, we mamash b'ruch Hashem are into it. When it comes to Agata, I'm still like a two-year-old. I have nothing to add to this Chazal. Zero. Ephes. That, the Maral said, we got to change. I'll give another example. Reminds you of last week's parsha. Again, this example that I brought. Shevet Levi's counted as babies. Other Shvatim were counted from the age of 20. Why is Shevet Levi different? I'll tell you why. Because Yocheved, the first Levia, when she came down to Mitzrayim, she was counted also as a baby. You know, 70, if there's 70 you count, there's only 69, the 70th one is Yocheved. So therefore, all the Levim were counted as babies. And by Midbar, and by Shvishon, by Sheni, and by Shishi. Really? What? Why? Because the Bubi was counted as a baby. Heritage, tradition, role model. I could almost turn into crime. That's what Chazal was saying. Really? Because the Bubi was counted as a baby, that's how come all future generations are going to be counted as babies? Is there any Havana here? What does that mean? The Bubi was counted as a baby. If you understand the Rashi the way I just now said it, that's literally called Bubimisis. Right? The Bubi was counted as a baby. So we follow suit. The beginning sets the tone. Tradition. Impossible! Amar Rav Yehuda bar Shalom, Lama do oiso shevet yotnim na mibeten. This Shevet was counted as a baby already from day one. What does it mean, though? It just so happened to be. If it just so happened to be, if it's a mikra, it shouldn't dictate later on Hanukkah for all the Doris. There's something real here. There's something deeper here. What? That's how the Maral would train us. And he shows it. And the same lumbus of the Kohen Gadol Aruch Halayim and Makivin, the same lumbus. The same lumbus. Just you got to get a little bit exposed to it, a little bit to understand it. It's the same lumbus, but every Chazal is a kiyum of the pasuk ki hi chochmaschem uvinaschem le'enei ha'ami. Every single Chazal. You just need a derech how to do it. Of course, a lot of it has to do with Kabbalah, a lot of it has to do with sight, which I personally know nothing about, but then we're always alluding to it. For sure, it's known that the sages of Torah were inserted in the Agadahs. Okay, but nevertheless, there's something that we could understand as well. That was just an Agdama. Is the Olam a little bit familiar with the Sfarim of the Maral? Yeah, like the Sfarim that he wrote. Okay, we'll go over in short. The first Sefer that he published was in 1578, the Gur Aryeh on the Torah. Right? The Gur Aryeh. It's a commentary on Rashi. Why is the Maral dedicated his life to explain Chazal? His first sefer and his largest sefer is dedicated to explain Rashi. Rashi is not Chazal. What would you answer, Rabbi Zain? Yes? I'm sorry? Exactly. The most unique thing about Rashi's commentary. Rabbi Zain, it's always good. I didn't know this one. What's the most unique thing about Rashi? Pshat? The Rashbam is more Pshat. The Rashbam says in Pashas Vayeshev that he told his grandfather that you're not Pshat enough. And he said, my grandfather agreed. I spoke to my Zaidi. You're not pshat oriented. No. What's unique about Rashi is that it's not Rashi. What do you mean it's not Rashi? So who wrote it? Ruach HaKodesh? Yeah, true. But the point is it's all Chazal. It's a Yalkut of Chazal. And since the Maharal wants to show what Chazal are about, he wants to start with your home court advantage. With Chumash Rashi, you feel comfortable? Let's start there. And I'll show you what Chazal are about. In the title page of the Gur Ayin, which is a very short, there's no introduction to the Gur Ayin, but it's a title page, and he says what he wants to do there. He wants to explain Rashi, to answer the kashas in Rashi. And then it's only about 5-6 lines, the whole little paragraph over there. There's about a line and a half saying the following. That's what Ramah says. And here is revealing what's the real reason he wrote his commentary on Rashi. I'm going to start with the Ma'amarim of Rashi that Rashi brought. Ma'amarim ha'yiduim that you're familiar with. Shekulam divrei chokma umum ein bahem. They're all chokma without any blemish. Okay. Then he wrote a set out of 6 sfarim that he projected to write. We have 3. I'm referring to Gvuras Hashem, Tiferes Yisrael, and Netzach Yisrael. He said he wants to write a sefer on each word in the following pasuk. L'cha Hashem, ha-gedula, ha-gevura, v'ha-tiferes, v'ha-netzach, v'ha-hod, kichol b'shamayim uva'aretz. Sefer HaGdula will be dealing with Rashi. I'm sorry, Sefer HaGdula will be dealing with Shabbos, Ma'ase Bereishis. It's all based on the Drash of Chazal and the Gemara and Brachas Daf Nun Ches. HaGvura will be speaking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's called Gvuras Hashem and HaKodesh of Pesach. Tiferes Yisrael will be speaking about Matan Torah and Shavuos. Netzach Yisrael speaks about Godus and Geula. Sefer Ahoyd will be speaking about Sukkos. Shemayim Va'aretz will be speaking about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The Sefer Gvuras, Tiferes, and Netzach we have. We do not have the other 3. What happened to the other 3? Most probably the Maharal never got to write it. He doesn't mention them in his farm. Only once he mentions Sefer HaGdula, the Sefer that we don't have, and he says it, and he speaks about it in the future tense. The Dova Zeh Yidba'er, the Sefer HaGdula, whenever he refers to this farm that we do have, he says it in the Lashon Ovar. The Dova Zeh Hizbar, the Sefer HaGdula. Okay. Remember, Professor, just a point on the Kuda, just on that. HaGdula is called Ma'aseh Bereishis. The Sochet Shavu Rebbe used to say, the Avnei Nezer, the Agli Tal, these are going Olam, would say, comes Pesach, comes Shavuos, yeah. Comes even the 3 weeks, I got it. But Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Shabbos, you felt that it's a little bit missing. I don't have the Sefer Maral. That's what he said, that going on. I don't have the Sefer Maral. Now, the truth is, at the time of the Avnei Nezer, we definitely did not have it. In 1950, they discovered in a manuscript in Oxford all kinds of Ksav of the Maral, which are called Chidushi Agodis of the Maral. And we don't have the Maral on Shabbos, but we have Chidushi Agodis on Masechet Shabbos, etc., etc. Okay. Everybody, just a little point. Can anybody in this room please explain to me? Sefer HaGdula, when you say in Shmoneh Esrei Hakel HaGodol, HaGibor V'Hanor, what does Godol mean in simple English? Please explain to me. What does Godol mean? Big? Big what? 7'2"? What does it mean? Shaquille O'Neal, he resigned last week. He was 7'4". Mm-hmm. What does Godol mean? Pashup Shah, guys. I mean, Pashup Shah. No philosophy. What does Godel mean? Yes.
Godel usually connotes giving, like the Godel turns 13, he has authority to give.
What does Godel mean then?
So great with in terms of the ability just to continuously give without taking.
To give without taking. Okay. You have a source to what you're saying?
There are, I don't remember what
kind. Okay, no problem.
So
what's it mean?
So it means to say at this point in time he's only a receiver.
You say Godel's a giver. But that's the right. Is that cut and good? It means he'll be a giver. What it means he'll be big. Plus some shot. Probably big. Not a small, but big.
The first time in the Torah it says the word God is referring to the Shemesh as opposed to
that's right, 100%. It's good. Good. You're saying good, your boy. But you bring me a Mefesh Shirai. What does God mean? When I say in Shmoneh Esrei, we're going to daven Mincha soon, I'm going to say God. What should I have in mind? He's what? Gibor, I understand. Powerful. Noira, awesome. What does God mean? They're saying, Pasuk Pshat, Pasuk Pshat. What does Godel mean? What should I have in mind when I say he's big? Big in what area? Why? Okay, it was said here. I just want to hear a mocker for it. Rabbi said, if I only came to say this point, it was good, I think, to come today. If I only come to explain what Godel means. Pasuk Pshat, no fellow, Bahamas, no Amkes. Godel means, like said here, Chesed. Really? How do you know? What's your source? That Godel means Chesed. It's a Rashi in the Chumash. Ata achiloy salaroy says God lecha, the beginning of Pashas Vayischana, says Rashi, God lecha zu midas tuvcha. That's the attribute of Chesed. Chesed is called Godel. On Avraham Avinu there's a pasuk, ha'adam ha'godel ba'anakim. It's a pasuk in Sefer Shoftim, say Chazal, it's Avraham Avinu. Because he did Chesed. Why is Godel called Chesed? And why is Chesed called Godel? Why is giving called Godel? At the end of the day, Godel means big. There's no way to argue about that one. Why the Midah of Chesed is called Godel and the Midah of Rachvim is not called Godel? Yes?
When a person gives, he facilitates a connection to those outside of him as opposed to someone who's selfish. Very self-contained and limited.
Good. So why is it called big?
He's
expanding.
Expanding.
Meaning he's becoming larger? That's what it means?
In metaphysical.
Yeah, yeah. That's why it's called Godel. He's expanding. Okay. Shomea? Good. Let's hear more. Why is the Midah of Chesed is called Godel? Sefer Gdula is my suggestion. Yes. And if you have rachmim with someone, rachmim is not called godel, right? So I mean, this is a question I could have asked also in the other answers. Why is chesed called godel more than rachmim? Okay, Rabbi, so these are topics that it has to be learned. That's all. No big secrets here. Godel means the definition of godel. It's like a little bit said here before. Is independent. Because the Gemara says in Shnayim Ochzim, what's called Godel regarding a Metziah, that once the cotton picks up a Metziah, does he have to give it to his father or not? So says the Gemara, lo gadol gadol mamash, lo katan katan mamash, ela Godel v'somuch ha-shulchan aviv, zehu katan. Katan ve'eno somuch ha-shulchan aviv, zehu gadol. That's the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Godel means independent. That he could manage on his own. Also, in the world, a minor, and then he becomes a major, or an adult. So some countries will say it's 16, or 18, or 21. But the definition is, he can manage on his own. That's what a godel means. The midah of chesed does not require any outside incentive. It's totally on your own. On your own, you want to give and help. Rachmim is, you need a makabel first, and he brings out, he triggers off feelings of Rachmanis, and then you want to help him. But it started from outside. Chesed starts from inside. It's not totally independent, not dependent at all on exterior conditions. The world was created as an act of Chesed or as an act of Rachmim. What would you say?
Chesed.
Why did it have to be Chesed? Because, exactly, there was no one there. So why did this world go into it? Ki amarti oilam chesed yibana. The world was created as an act of chesed. It has to be. That says gedula liyotze bereshis. Right? God, meaning when something you do totally on your own, without any outside incentives, that's called being independent. That's the midah of chesed. Rachamim is you see someone and you feel bad for him and you want to help him out. But you have to see him first. That's not called Godel on its own. Mechalkel chayim bechesed, mechayim meisim barachmim rabim. Why did it switch from chesed to rachmim? One sentence. Mechalkel could have been the other way around. מחק אל חיים ברחמים, מחיים מייסים בחסד. Yeah, could have been the other way around as well. No, we know Amshik Nesak Dela, whatever they did, it was Bedafka. So I'm Mechal Kel Chaim Bechesed, Mechai Emesim Berachmim Rabin. And a lot of what we're learning today, Mechor, that's the answer. Mechal Kel Chaim Bechesed means that Kodesh Boch was giving more than what's needed. You open up your closet and you see you have 12 shirts. You really need only 8. So where did the extra 4 come from? So of course he went to the store to buy it. But which midah of Kodesh Baruch Hu gave you something that you don't really need? That's the midah of chesed. That's abundance beyond what you need. That's called mechalkel, comes from the word kol. That's what the Goyen says. Giving you beyond what you need. Beyond what you need is called chesed. But mechayim meisiv rachmim, that's what's needed. There's a guf here, a neshama there, and that's not the tzura of Adam. And mabach, let's help him out. So you connect them together. You're addressing a need. Addressing a need is called rachmin. Giving beyond the need is called chesed. Mechalkel chayim bechesed, mechayim meisim berachmin. Sefer HaGdula is speaking about ma'isim breshis, which was an act of chesed. That's that's what we hear from Sefer HaGdula. Rabbi says, so now let's go in to what I want to say. This is a maral in the Gur Arya Parshas Vayigash. Even if someone never opened up a maral in his life, has a very good chance of hearing about this maral. The Shev Shmaitzer quotes him in his Agdoma. The Baal HaKtzois, also in his Agdoma to the Ktzois, quotes the maral. And he's quoted in many, many Sfarim. This part, the Gur Arya I'm going to share with you now. Let's start. The Chassam Sofer, we'll start with the Chassam Sofer, asks a question that only a goyim like the Chassam Sofer could ask it. Because it's such a push of the kasha that just regular people don't think about it. The Gemara says in a few places in Chas, Gel shenizgayel kekotn shenoylat dami. A person who converts to Judaism from the Torah's perspective, he's born anew. He's starting from scratch. Consequently, he could get married even to his sister. If siblings convert to Judaism, al pi dinei Torah, they could marry each other. Even though biologically they're called siblings. Why? Ger shenitgayer kekatan shenolad. You're born again. Rabbanan asked it. Shelo yomru banu migdusha kala l'gdusha chamura. When we were going, migdusha chamura l'gdusha kala, when we were going was prohibited, now it's permitted. I like this religion. So they shouldn't get the wrong impression. So, fine. B'miyat Torah, it's permitted. And this Gemara is brought down in a few places in Shas. And as you see, it has tremendous ramifications. A mother and son that convert to Judaism, al pi dinei Torah, can marry each other. Says that some surfer, kol yamayit kashetin in sechidushim to Avodah Zarah. Where's the mocker? Where did Chazal get this from? They would not make it on their own. Where did they get the mocker from? It's a pasuk. It's a halacha l'mashe m'Sinai. Where's the mocker of ger shenizgayer kekotn shenolad? Chazal say it in the Gemara a few times as a given. Omar Rish Lakish ger shenizgayer kekotn shenolad. Where's the source? Chazal, they for sure did not make it on their own. It's not a svara. Hell am I, they saw it somewhere. Where? And that's some sort of remains of the kasher. Where's the kasher? Where's the source? It's known in the world as a kasher of some sefer. Says Remer Simcha in the Meshech Chochma and Pashas Vayeschanan, he quotes the some sefer, and he says, I found the source. Matzati. There's some surfer, Kol Yomov Niskasha, says Ramir Simcha. Where's the source of Gershon Yizgah, Kekotn Shenolad Ami? I found the source. Where's the source? All Dinei Geras are learned from Matan Torah. There was a massive, mass conversion of Am Yisrael. That's like 2-3 dafim in the Gemara Yevamos. That's all Dinei Geras are learned from. Matan Torah was a Gerus, a conversion for all Jewish people. And all of them were told after Matan Torah, Shuvu lachem le'oleichem. Says the Gemara in Moed Katan, what does it mean, Shuvu lachem le'oleichem? Return to your wives. How could they all return to the wives? Weren't some of them married to the women that according to the Torah that was given now, they're prohibited to be with each other? For example, Amram and Yocheved. Amram and Yocheved themselves probably were not alive in Matan Torah. What about the other Amrams and Yocheveds? Amram's a nephew getting married to his aunt. A goy is allowed to do it. according to the Torah, you're not allowed to. How can you tell everybody Shuvah Lechem Lo Lechem? Meaning, Amram Jr. will go get married to Yocheved Jr.? How could they? It's a nephew and aunt. And according to the new Torah that was given, it's prohibited. You have to say, says Rav Meir Simcha, that since they went through the process of Gerus, Gerush and his guy could cut the Shinoimat, and therefore they're all allowed to get married to each other. Because they're not called relatives anymore. And I'm Baruch Hashem happy to say that I found the mucker that the Chassam Sofer was looking for his whole life. At Kan Dvarav Shor Meir Simcha. In the Meshech Chochma. Nahon? By the way, what was the Meir Simcha's wife's name? Chaya. Everyone knows she's called Chaya. What was the Chofetz Chaim's wife's name? I don't know. What was the Vilna Gaon's wife's name? What was the Rambam's wife's name? I don't have a clue. What was the Bukhiriger's wife's name? I don't know. The Shakazai's wife's name? Nice names. What was the Rambam Simcha's wife's name? Chaya. Everybody knows she's called Chaya. Makarasham. How come everybody knows she's called Chaya? First of all, he mentions her a lot. But also, it's known that when they got married, she came from the city of Bialystok. And after a few months that they were married, she tells him, and of course I'm wishing it to all those who are not married that their wives should tell him this, and those who are married that their wives should be telling them this. She tells him after a few months, you know, you're something else. You're not a regular guy. You're mashu mashu. You could become a gadol b'Yisrael. He was then 23 and she was 20. It's like a modern version of Rabbi Kiva and Rachel. It's a pity that you'll come home every night. Am Yisrael is going to lose out on the gadol. Where should I go? You should stay in the shul, in the Esrus Nashim, in my father's shul. And the Esrus Nashim is the Oitzer Asfaram. And come home only for Shabbos. And I'll make sure that you have clothing and food and whatever you need. You sure that you want to do? 100%. Listen, we'll try it out. That sounds to me a little meshuggah. We'll try it out, said Rav Meir Simcha. He went into the Oitzer Asfaram at the age of 23. He came out at the age of 37. And when he came out, the Alter Mesubbuka said on him, Sar HaTorah. He came out, he was Gadol HaDor. And he always said, whatever I reach, is thanks to the Baruch Hu. That's what he always said. Thanks, sir. Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapira Zatzal, who used to be the Rosh Hashiva of Bar Yaakov, used to say over, he was a native of Bialystok, that he heard from the old people in Bialystok that Rav Meir Simcha, when he was learning in the Esrus Nashim, after Marib would go quickly to the Oitzer to learn this farm, to learn, he climbed on a ladder once after Marib and opened up a sefer, and everybody left. When they came back the next morning, he was still on the same ladder towards the end of the sefer. He learned with a smug amukah. So Am Yisrael acknowledges that Chaya, thanks to Chaya, we had a Rav Meir Simcha. Mamash Gadol HaDor. He's the only one quoted in the Mishnah Berurah who's alive. The Mishnah Berurah never quotes contemporary people. He just quotes, the Mishnah Berurah quotes Svarim. The Prima Gani, the Elyon Rabba, the Gra. He quotes once Rav Meir Simcha. Regarding that on Shofar, you have to put the Shofar on the right side of your lip. That's brought down the Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara says it. Says the Chofetz Chaim, V'shamati dovar nochay me'agoyin Rav Meir Simcha. Had Chazal Noach on the right side, not on the left side. And Rav Meir Simcha has some kind of Yerushkeit with the Psukim, with Gidon, with the Chatzetz Reis. That's what you mean. But he made it to the Mishnah Berurah alive. Anyway, that's what Rav Meir Simcha says. I found the mucker. I found the mucker. What the Chassam Sofer was looking for, where's the mucker of Gersh and his guy, Kekat and Shenoilad, the Pasuk Shuvu Lachem Lo Lachem. Okay. Mitzvah should be Tchasa Basin, today, tomorrow. And we're going to meet Rav Meir Simcha. I understand he was 6'3", Rav Meir Simcha. The Chofetz Chaim was 5'1". And then it says, Echad Amar Be'ed, Echad Amar Mis, Uvivad Sheichav En Libo L'Shemayim. And if we'll have it, you know, by the way, again, Amaral's Nekuda, where are all the Mesim going to come out from? I don't know. Where are they going to come out from? Just amazing. Everyone will come up from his plot. And that's Israel. I just want to know. Will it be in Geula? You know, Geula is a good name. Shetabo Geula. Where are they going to come out from? All the Mason, where are they going to pop out from? Haris Aisim, maybe? Says the Maharal in Parshas Vayechi, Kvartani Bukhurosan, says they're all going to pop out from Maras Machpela. V'dover ze mevur b'chazal, says the Maral. And when I was learning that Quran in Pashas Vayechi, it's before computer times, where's the Chazal? And all the Mesim are going to pop up from Maras Machpela. I guess there's just one reason why also we can't get back from Maras Machpela. Could you imagine the same millions and millions of Jews popping out? Some of them are going to probably speak only Yiddish. And they're going to say, Shalom, Echavil, gain to Yerushalayim, what's the vague? And if it's going to be only Arabs, they're going to say, Ahawa, Ahawa, they won't be able to communicate. We have to have Yidden there available. Millions and millions of Yidden are going to pop out of Maras Machpela. That's what the Maral says. The Dover is in before the Chazal. Where's the Chazal? I asked big Talmidei Chachamim in Yerushalayim. Where's the Chazal? I don't know. Someone told me there's a Jew in Kiryat Arba who compiled a chibur of all the Chazals pertaining to that place. Get in touch with him. He for sure will know. Until I got his name, his number, I called him up. He says, call me up in 2 days. Let me do research. Called him up for 2 days. I don't know where the Chazal is. So obviously that's how the Maral understood a Chazal. It's not written explicitly. Okay. So I wrote on the foot on the bottom. I don't know where the Chazal is. Months later, I was walking in the streets in Bnei Brak, and Rav Chaim Kinyevsky was walking by himself. This never happens today anymore. He's walking in the streets by himself, near his home. And I ran there as quick as I could. A kosher Ben Johnson. There used to be a Ben Johnson once that ran. It's before your time. He was disqualified, but I ran, it was kosher. And I went over to him and I said to Rav Chaim Kinyevsky, can I please ask the Rav a question? He said, yeah. The Maral says in the Gerar, Parshas Vayechi, that all the Mesim are going to pop out from Maras Machpela. So Tal says, Rav Chaim Kinyevsky, really? That's what the Maral says? He says, the Dover is in Bevur B'Chazal. Where's the Chazal? Who could you ask better than Rav Chaim Kinyevsky? Right? Who could you ask? So he's mumbling to himself, and he tells me, he's not telling me, he's mumbling to himself in Yiddish. And the Bavli is Nito. And the Yerushalmi is Nito. And the Medrash Rabbah is Nito. Medrash Tanhuma, Nito. Yalkut Shimoni, Nito. Medrash Halacha, that's the Mechilta Sifra Sifri, is Nito. Zohar HaKadosh, so we're now entering the Kabbalah world. Zohar HaKadosh, Nito. Taka, it's a mashmas in Tikkuni Zohar, let above. That's what he tells Rav Chaim Kinyevsky. He went through Kula Tarakula in about 65 seconds. Quicker than any CD that I have. Okay. Anyway, obviously, if he would have a chance to speak to Rav Meir Simcha, I would tell him what the Rav says in Parshas Vayischanan, that that's the mocker of Gershon's guy, Kachon Shinoilad, to answer the Kasha of the Chasam Sofer, he'd probably say, yeah, I wrote it. You don't have to tell me, I know. Well, there's another also very tall rabbi who totally disagrees. And he lived 350 years earlier. Who? The Maral. He was called the Hochlo. He was very tall. And the Maral totally disagrees with what the Rizim was saying. The Maral in the Chumash in Guraya Parshas Vayigash. The Shev Shmaitza quotes it. The Kli Chemda quotes it. Everyone quotes him. Says, in Matan Torah, there was no Ger Shiriz Gair Kekot Nishinalad. Why not? Because Kof Alem Hal Kegigis. Because Bo held the mountain over us like a bell. There was coercion. We were forced into it. And since we were forced into it, there's no Ger Shiriz Gair Kekot Nishinalad. A regular Ger that comes and converts on his free will, fine. But since we were forced into it, there was no Ger Shiriz Gair Kekot Nishinalad. That's what the Maral says. And this Maral is called in Hebrew a Ptatza. What does he mean? Does he mean to say that since we were forced into it, it didn't work? So we're not Gerim at all. Not only Gersh is a guy called Nishinel, we're not Jewish then. If you take a guy in the streets and you force him to convert, it's worthless. Worthless. It's nothing. But the Maral's not saying that. The Gerus did take effect. We did become Jews. Everybody's called Mushba V'Oimed Mehar Sinai. Right? Yeah, but not to the degree that will be Gershon Hizgai Kekot Nishinoilad. Meaning if we'll divide according to numbers on a scale of 0 to 10, the total Gerus is 10. Gershon Hizgai Kirkot Shanelad is a result of 10. What happened in Matan Torah is 8.5, 9, not 10. Why? Since there was coercion, since we were forced into it, so it doesn't reach the level of 10. So is it 0? No. We're Jews. We became a Chayav since Matan Torah, for sure. It did kick in. But not to the degree of Gershon Hizgayel, Kikot Mishinoilat. And this made people think, what does the moral mean? Mimanoshach. Or the Gersh doesn't work, or it does work. It works 90%. Because we were forced into it, so it's not a full-fledged Gersh. So it's not a Gersh at all. No, it is a Gersh. It's a valid Gersh. But not to the degree of Kikot Mishinoilat, Kikot Mishinoilat. What does the moral mean? So basically there's two ways to explain this moral. I'll tell you the first way, which my Rosh Yeshiva used to say, the Pachad Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Kutner Zatzal. But I found years later that the Apurion, the Sefer of the Baal, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, wrote a Sefer on Chumash called Apurion. On Parshas Bamidbar he quotes this Gerayah. And that's one pshat. And then I'll tell you what the Kli Chamda says. Another pshat. Let's start with what the first pshat. The first pshat is saying like this. You know what the Rambam means? The famous Rambam, you could force a Jew to do a mitzvah, and it still works. Why? What does the famous Rambam say? Because deep down, he wants it. Right? Kofi Nesu'at Shiyomar, Roitzani, the famous Rambam in Hilchos Gerushin. I'm sorry? Yeah, good. Right? That's what Rambam says. So every kfiya works because deep down, that's what this person, as a Jew, probably wanted anyway. How do you know that's what he wants deep down? Because Matan Torah, we accepted the Torah. But the Matan Torah gufo was done the kfiya. So where did that come from? No, deep down, that's what he wanted anyway. Where did that come from? You know, today you say it came from Har Sinai. And Har Sinai, where did it come from? You have to say it came from the office exhortation. Since we're descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, so we have built in our system a natural inclination to do Ratzon Hashem, and the Yetzer could tell us otherwise, but deep down we want to do Ratzon Hashem. So the whole reason why the Geras works is because we're relying on our lineage, on our past. How do you want a Geras which is nourished from our past that should disconnect it from your past? It's an oxymoron. If you're relying on your past, you cannot be disconnected from your past at the same time. Gershon is gag, you're cutting chanel down, it means you're starting from scratch. No past, no nothing. You're starting from zero. That's what a regular gerus does. But this gerus that came, that is effective, it's only because you're relying on ha'avar, on your past, on your lineage from the past. A gerus which is relying on your past cannot disconnect you from your past. And therefore, here, everybody would agree, the Geras works, like the Rambam says, because deep down that's what you wanted. But if it's relying on your deep down, namely where you come from, a Geras which is based on your roots cannot disconnect you from your roots. That's what the Rambam means. That's how the Apurion and the Pachad Yitzchak say. Biduk the same word. Rav Huna, I guess, didn't see the Apurion. Okay, that's biduk the same Neguda. It's an oxymoron. Relying on the past, cannot, a Geras which is relying on the Shulchan HaAvar cannot disconnect you from your Avar. The moment you disconnect it, it's coercion, it doesn't work. Okay? Adkan that Hezbar. Nobody's in my humble opinion, I think what the Kli Chamda is saying is so much more moralic than this one. This one's nice, but it's a little bit poilish. Poilish means it's a chashman. Geras works because deep down that's what you wanted. Where did that deep down come from? From your past, from your roots. So how do you want a Geras which is relying on your roots to disconnect you from your roots? They can't, it's an oxymoron. Once you're disconnected, the whole Geras is worthless. So that's what the Maral meant when he said it was Kofa Harkigigis. Meaning, when the Maral said Kofa, it's a simon. Kofa, so how does it work? Deep down, that's what you want. Where did that deep down come from? Your past, your roots. How do you want a Geras which is nourished from your past to disconnect it from your past? The Kli Chamda from Dom Plotsky, a Goyin Olam, says, I'll tell you a different pshat now. And this, I think, is a lot more maharaldic than what than the first explanation. According to the Kli Chamda, what the Maral said, Kofa HaKigigis, won't be a siman. it's indicating something the way we're putting in the Apriyona learning. Rather, it will be a Siba. It's the cause itself. It's the Kriya itself, not just a Siman. Namely, if I have $1,000 in my pocket, I'm used to saying $1,000 because I'm living in England the last couple of years. If I have $1,000, whatever, in my pocket, and I'm afraid I'm going to lose it, so I go over to you. What's your name? Yaakov. I say, Yaakov, I'm going to give you a loan. $1,000. You keep it and pay me back in a year from now. And Yaakov says, no, don't take it. I don't need a loan. He says, no, but I very much want to give you. Thank you very much. I don't want to take it. I'll take it to Din Torah. It's ridiculous, right? But if someone did give a loan to someone else, and then that other person doesn't pay back, then he could go take him to Din Torah. They're based in Yodin and Nechasev, right? What's the difference between the two? Now, it seems very obvious, but let's think about it a second. How come I cannot force someone to take a loan, but I could force someone to pay back a loan? What's the chiddush? Of course, you could say he already committed himself. He already committed himself 100%. A little bit deeper, though. Why can't you force someone to take a loan, but you cannot, but you could force someone to pay back a loan? Anybody want to say? Bakasha? What's the chilek? I mean, it's obvious. We feel it's pasha. There's no question. But what is it? I cannot force on something which is the beginning. I could force only on something which is the continuation. Okay, so let's think about it. To give a loan means there's nothing till now. You know from scratch. You know from Adam. You go over to someone's house. Could you take a loan? No, I don't want to take a loan. I'll force you. On what basis? We're starting now. I was forced to begin is an oxymoron in the terminology of the moral. Because every beginning means it has nothing to do with before. If it does, it's not called a beginning. It's a hemshach. If I'm forced to something, that means that I'm still holding on to a past, and my past is still forcing me. But forced to begin, that will be impossible. Because what's forcing me if it's a beginning? Something from yesterday. Something from yesterday, that means it's not a beginning today. What's the difference between Korban Nedava and Korban Chleva? You're forced to bring a Korban Chleva, Korban Nedava. Korban Chleva, yesterday I did an Avera, which obligates me today to bring a Korban. So the Korban's not the beginning, the Korban is stage two. I did an Avera, and now I have to bring a Korban. What's Korban Nedava? No strings attached, I start from Ephes. Why? I woke up in the morning, I want to bring a Korban. Nedava means without any coercion, no force. I just decide to do it. Mayafu pamaich benaalim bat nediv. Right, a pasuk in Shir Hashirim says the Gemara in the beginning of Chagiga. Mayafu pamaich benaalim bat nediv bitoy shel av ravino shayat chila legerm. So you see what the Gemara did with the word nediv? Nediv chila legerm. Nediv means a free offering. I did it on my own, without any strings attached. That's called a tchila. Nadiv tchila legem. But if I'm forced to do something, by definition, it's not a beginning. If at the age of 6 I went to school, because I finished preschool, so I had to go to school. And then at the 9th grade, I had to go to high school, because I finished everybody's school, so I just went on. And then at the age of 18, I went to yeshiva, because everybody goes to yeshiva, and I just had to go on. The age of 22, 23, I got married because everybody gets married. Here's more. The age of 20, 23, everybody gets married. I'll get married also. I'm forced to. My background is forcing me to the next step. And then at the age of, 25, 28, when you have your children, because that's the next stage. And then at the age of 88, you die because everybody dies then. That means I never tasted a time of hatchala in my life, if I live like that kind of life. I'm always responding to a previous system. I'll never feel a beginning. Every stage that I'm doing in life is a hemshech of yesterday. That's not called beginning. And you cannot force to begin. Philosophically, it's an oxymoron to say I was forced to begin. Because beginning means there's nothing before you. So what forced you? Right, so this is from the Maral, he says it in a few places, but it's a biological factor in the world that we live in. Oh, boy, so we'll just think about the Remiza. Gila arises Yorg Valyava. Right? 100%. What happens if a woman wasn't such a hero and someone came to her with a gun and said, if you're not going to commit the Gilui Arayos, I'm going to kill you. And she committed the Gilui Arayos. And there were Edim and Asura, whatever. Is she Chayav Misa? No. Why not? She was forced. She was Anusa. Right? She was forced. She was put there. True, she should have killed herself. True. That's all right. The Rambam brings on Halacha. True. But at the end of the day, she did it because she wanted to. She did it because she had a gun next to a temple. So what can you do? She's an Anusa. And she's Potter for Misa. She's not the hero, but she's Potter for Misa. She was forced. Let's go to the man side. If a Jewish man was forced with a gun, if you're not going to commit the Gilui Arayos, I'm going to kill you. And he went and he committed the Gilui Arayos. What's the halacha? He's Chayav Misa. He's Chayav Misa. What?
And
Kishri Elul Das. That's what the Gemara says. Exactly. Meaning, a man could give birth only willingly. A woman could give birth even if she was raped. Why? Because that's what the Gemara is saying. From the man's side, it's a beginning, from stage 0 to 1. 0 to 1 could only be done by Rotzen. You can't be forced by 0. So he did a Baratzen, he's Chayav Misa. Masha Enkin by Aisha, it's already stage 3, 4, 5. That could be done against her Rotzen. So she's Anusa, and Anusa's Potter. Mamish this, he served them all. Begin. You know, look at the beauty of Lashon HaKodesh. The word Av, which means father, represents the beginning by its Aleph Beis, the first two letters of the Aleph Beis. But what else does the word Av mean? Father, and what else?
Again?
What?
Chochmah? It means like the beginning.
What? No. No. The word Av means father. Ve'lo Ava Hashem Elokech Lishma Bekolo. Im lo soveh ha'isha l'leches acharai. What does Av mean there? Ratzon. So you see the Chochmah of Lashon HaKodesh? Father means Ratzon. Because he can't be a father if it's not Ratzon. Impossible for a father to give birth if it's not Ratzon. Therefore, the word father and the word Ratzon is the same word. The Radak in Sefer Shoreshim, under the Shoresh Aleph Beis, brings Abba and brings Ratzon. A father could give birth only by Ratzon. A mother could give birth even to love Ratzon. Because a beginning can only be by Ratzon. If it's not Beratzen, otherwise it's not called the beginning. Says the Kli Chemda, the mere fact that Kosh Bohu forced us to receive the Torah, why isn't that parallel to forcing someone to take a loan? How could you force us? We're beginning of a stage. We're starting from scratch. How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu force us to accept the Torah? Why isn't it like I'm going to Yaakov and forcing him to take a loan? So to force Yaakov to take a loan, everybody says it's ridiculous. On what basis? How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu force us to take a Torah? We're now starting. He asked the Goyim if they wanted or not, and they said no, and he went on. How come when he's asking us, and we said Nasa Vanesh, now he's forcing us? On what grounds is he forcing us? Muslim Zogin, you have to say that by us, Matan Torah wasn't a beginning of a process, there was a conclusion of a process. Of which process? Of Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Shibut Mitzrayim, Yitzias Mitzrayim, coming out of Mitzrayim, Tavdunas Elokim Alahar Azeh, and now we're receiving the Torah. So the receiving of the Torah cannot be a beginning, because if it's a beginning, you're starting from scratch, how could you force me? It's a graduation, Matan Torah. That's a Kamakot Hishbo. Who could force us? How do you want something which is a conclusion of a process to be a beginning of Gershon Yizgah Kekot Nishinarad? That's how the Kli Chemda explains to the Ma'al. It's Boim Nifloim. It's Boim Nifloim Agmoid. It's instruction for life. If you want to do anything that should be meaningful, you got to do it on your own. If I'm responding to peer pressure, I'm always just continuing. I'm always responding to yesterday. So my day is a hemshech of yesterday. Hatchala can only be as much as there's Ratzon. since HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced us, so Rav Futner and the Apriyon were saying, how did it work? Because deep down you want it. Deep down you want it. Where did that come from? According to the Apriyon, the mere fact that we forced, forget about that it worked. On what basis could you force me if we're at the threshold? We're just starting now. How could you force? Muzma Zogin, that you're not in the beginning. You're at the conclusion of a process. Conclusion of a process can't be. Kageshin Sky, couldn't you know that? The voice of the mouth says it again in this week's parasha that we read. No, parasha by Midbar. Ela told us Moshe Aaron. I'll give you a little example. Ela told us Moshe Aaron. These are the children of Moshe Aaron. And then the Torah spells out only the children of Aaron. What about the children of Moshe? So what does Rashi say? He quotes the Gemara at Sanhedrin saying what? Kol ha-malam has ben chaver Torah ki ilu yilodor. And Moshe Rabbeinu taught his nephews Torah, the children of Aaron, they're called his children as well. That's what Rashi says. Asks the Maharal, he taught all of us Torah, not just the nephews of his nephews. So why do you list only those four names? Now it should be 600,000 names. And Parshas Bamidbar should be the yellow pages of Manhattan. 600,000 names. He's called Moshe Rabbeinu. He taught all of us Torah. Why are the children of Aaron called his children? Because he taught them Torah. He taught all of us Torah. He's called Moshe Rabbeinu because of that. So why only the four children of Aaron are mentioned and not all of us? Gevaldik Akasha. You know what the moral answer is? This he said. Aaron Akoyan's children, his nephews, he taught totally voluntarily. Totally voluntarily. Is ki'ilu yelodot. Later could be done only by Ratzon. He didn't have to teach him that extra half an hour. And he did. That is ki'ilu yelodot. Us, he had to teach. It was his job. The Torah was given to him only on the condition that he'll teach us. Oy v'avoy if Moshe Rabbeinu would have turned around and say, I don't want to teach them. If you're forced, it's not ki'ilu yelodot. That's like a we're not called his children. The four children of Aaron HaKohen are, yes, called his children. Why? Them he taught voluntarily. Us, he had to. Hechrech and Leida are Dovah v'Hipuchoy. A Leida could only be done by Ratzon. I say, you know what this means for Maisa? It sounds like philosophy. You know what it means for Maisa? What does it mean for Maisa? It says in the beginning of Parshas Noach, Rashi says, Elo told us Noach, and then it says Noach is a great guy, is a tzaddik. That's what it says, right? And then the next pasuk mentions his children. Nachon? So why are you mentioning first that he was a tzaddik and then you're mentioning his children? So Rashi says in the second pshat, Dov achel lamdecha, she'ikal todosem shel tzaddikim ma'isim tovim. The main offsprings of a tzaddik is his good deeds. Who's born when he does a good deed? When he gives birth to children, children are born. Who's born when you do a good deed? The Malach? A Malach? Maybe it could be. I don't think the Malach's not. Says the Malach, you know what it means? You give birth to yourself. When you are Oymed Dinesiones, and you have trials that all of us have, and you're Oymed in them, every time you're successful in the sign that there's what gives over to you, you are revealing, you're discovering another inch of your uniqueness. And you are born. Ikal to the same should tzaddikim ma'isim tovim. It's even greater than giving birth to children, says Amaral. Because giving birth to children is giving birth to someone else. But when you're doing mitzvahs, you're giving birth to yourself. And that's even on a higher madrega than giving birth to others. Why? Because when you're giving birth to yourself, it's a potential that's starting to materialize. When you give birth to someone else, again, you're starting from zero. So potential, give birth to potential, to give birth to potential, you go on for 1,000 years. It starts materializing when you give birth to yourself. Nachon? So let's think about it. When we do Torah and mitzvahs, we got to give birth to ourselves. That's what it's all about. That we should elevate ourselves, bring out who we are, and discover the uniqueness that each neshama has. That's done through Torah and mitzvahs. And we're obligated to do Torah and mitzvahs. We're all mujba v'ayim and mehar Sinai. In the days of the Bais HaMikdash, if someone's Machal Shabbos, he's Chayav Misa. So how can I give birth if I'm obligated? How can I give birth to myself through Torah and mitzvahs if en lecha chiyuv gadol mizeh to do Torah and mitzvahs. From the age of two, we were told, make a bracha, do this, do a mitzvah, and then bar mitzvah, then we give and then, yeah, we're mechuyev. We're mechuyev o'emet mehar Sinai legamrei. And yet, we're supposed to do, through Torah and mitzvahs, give birth to ourselves. How do you work it out? But it's an obligation. It's mandatory. Through this mandatory system, you're supposed to give birth to yourself. Isn't that an unbelievable question? It's a question that pertains to us on a daily basis. I'm putting on tefillin already since I'm 13. So is it just like this? Shalom Yisrael? So of course nothing's going to be born from that. It's cool. It's routine. It's a ritual. It's nothing. No leida will take birth from such a kind. No leida will happen as a result of putting on tefillin that way. And sikui, like they say in Israel. Mitzvot Anashim Ulamada, no birth happens there. For sure not. So what ingredient do I need in my Avodas Hashem to make sure that I'll be born from what I'm doing? And born means to go and go and grow. What's the ingredient, Rabbi Zach? Huh? Okay, not everybody wants Rabbi Zach, lad, lad. What's the ingredient needed? Ratzon. The more rotzen I have, I should tell myself the following. I know I'm commanded. I'm already commanded for the last 3,300 years. But nevertheless, I want to do it so much. As much as rotzen that's invested in your avodas Hashem, that's exactly as much of a leida that will take place from the avodas Hashem. The lack of rotzen will be a lack of leida. That's like when Rashi says, "Ikal to the same shel tzaddikim ma'isim tovim." Why not regular people? "Ikal to the same shel adam ma'isim tovim." Why does Rashi say "Ikal to the same shel tzaddikim"? Because a tzaddik does it with his whole kol atzmo seitomana. Leida could be like the Gemara says in Maseches Nida, "Kol gufoy margish." That's what Gemara says. A leida could be only in kol gufoy magis. The purpose of Torah and mitzvahs is to elevate us and to go from tishtag and to go from madrega to madrega. But according to what we're learning from this mamal today, it could only happen if there's a massive dosage of rotzen. If I'm doing it because my parents are doing it and I was born from, okay, so I keep on doing it, that won't be the leida that we're talking about. That's what this model is saying on Kofa Hakikis. You can't do it because you're forced. You think if we could have transmitted this message to the younger generation, you think there'd be anybody going off the derech? I promise you, there wouldn't have been one. If we could have transmitted it, it's so geschmack to be a Jew. It's so unbelievable when you're doing mitzvahs. You're elevating yourself, you're discovering your uniqueness. It's so good. There wouldn't have been anybody going off the derech. Guaranteed. I deal with a lot of teenagers. I can tell you. Show them the geshmak out of Torah. Show them the geshmak out of mitzvahs. The geshmak out of Shabbos. But it's done b'koyach. When it's done b'koyach, no later happens. On the contrary, they reject it. Kofa Harkigigis, there was some kind of element of coercion there, and therefore there's no leida. And it's not Gershni's guy, because you know dummy. That's what the Maral says. What will the Maral answer the Kasha of Rameir Simcha? How can you tell everybody Shuvah Lechem Lo Alechem? Rameir Simcha's point of view. Raya. How can you tell everybody go back to your wives? What about the Amrams who are married to Yuchavitz? If you don't say that Gershni's guy, because you know dummy. If you don't say it, and the Maral says you definitely don't say it, because it was Kofa Harkigigis. So what are you going to answer Rav Meir Simcha's Kasha? Because I have a Balbatish there. What usually the answer is, the Torah is referring to the Rav. Shuvah Lechem Olechem is referring to the 97%, 98%. How many percentages were nephews married to aunts? The Torah is not referring to them. The Maral has a big liar. Boy Chalim Mishpuch Hesem. They were crying in their Raish in Esulam, which shows that there was still Issa Raish. It's a pillar of Mer symbol at this point. Hi, it says Shuvu Lachem Olach. I mean, it's referring to the mass majority. Ubay Kekulay. Einachinami, those few that were nephews married to aunts or whatever, so they won't be able to go back. But the Torah is referring to the mass majority. Does anybody have any questions on what we said till now? Because I want to conclude with one more question. I just want to, before I go on, does anybody have any questions on what we said? So some suffering remains. The kasha still remains. Yeah, there were answers said throughout the Torahs. But before I go on, I just want to say what I tried to do today is to show a little time of what the Maral did to us. A little time of, wow. So I'm Jewish not only because my mother's Jewish, which is good enough. I'm Jewish because there's such time in our Judaism. The kesher between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yisrael. The Indian of Eretz Yisrael. The Indian of what's waiting for us, the Geula, the Tchias HaMeisim. I'm just saying, I'm sure there's other ways as well, but the Maral is one of them that gave such a time. Again, I'm going to say my statement that I said before. I'm convinced. It's hard to prove it. Anybody who's toyam, the Torah of the Maral, would never go off the derech. I'm sure that won't happen. It's so super geschmack and so deep. And so pretend to what it's all about. What it's all about. That's what he wrote in his Sfarim. I mentioned just a few Sfarim. Rabbi Yossi also wrote a parish in Pirkei Avos, which is called Derech Chaim. He wrote a sefer which is called Nesivas Oilam, which is Chalik Beis of Derech Chaim, which is Midos and Musar. He wrote a sefer in Chanukah called Ner Mitzvah. He wrote a sefer in Purim called Or Chodesh. He wrote a sefer called Be'er HaGoyla, which is probably the heart of the Maral Sfarim. He took all the chazals that people made fun of and show what chazal really meant and divided it into seven categories. That's the Sefer Be'er HaGoyla. How can an eclipse be a bad omen? You know in advance when it's going to happen. So when the eclipse of the sun is a bad omen for the Jews, the eclipse of the moon, of the sun is for the grain, the eclipse of the moon is a bad simur for Ami, so how could it be? I can tell you in advance exactly what's going to happen, where and what. How could it be a bad omen? It's Nordic. These points addressing them. What's kashel zama, kashel osa, baloka, kashel zama, baloka, kashel osa? What's the logic of it? Adam that conspired to kill someone, they get killed. If they did it, then they don't get killed. There's a bond, a torment. It's just a new outlook, especially in the Sefer Be'er HaGoyla. When you look at Chazal and you see the way it was understood superficially, and then you see what Chazal really meant after you learned the Maral, when you acknowledge this gap, you could literally dance in the streets. It's just tremendous similar. Wow. Bora HaKadosh Baruch Hu kama olamos v'chivan. He couldn't make up his mind? He had to build a world, destroy a world, build a world, destroy a world, until he reached the world that he wants? He didn't know in advance what he would like? These are all questions that the Maral approaches, and it's Divrei Elokim Chaim, mamash. Okay, I want to conclude just with one question. Does anybody want to ask anything what we said till now? Okay. Yeah, Bakasha.
I just didn't understand, based on the Gemara and the Vamos, why is it that the father's involvement metaphysically in representing later, that can only be the Ratzon, but for some reason with the woman...
Because the father is the Hatchala. The Hatchala of every later starts with the father. If you give it, let's say Leda is from 0 to 5. Let's say 0 to 1 or 2 happens by the father. And then the mother takes the 2 and develops into Uber, which is 5. But the going from 0 could only be done by Ratzon. It can't be not by Ratzon. I want to ask a question, a very Pashta question, which I don't have an answer to, and I would very much appreciate if someone could help me out. A Pashta Kasha. What was the level of scholarship of Am Yisrael from Vav Sivan to Yud Aleph Tishrei? How much did we know? Let me explain. Moshe Rabbeinu was not with us from Vav Sivan to Yud Aleph Tishrei. Those are the 340 days that went up. It came down for one morning, up. It came down again for one morning, went up again. We had zero contact with Moshe Rabbeinu from Vav Sivan to Yud Aleph Tishrei. And all the Torah that we know is from Moshe Rabbeinu. So what did we know at Vav Sivan from Vav Sivan to Yud Aleph Tishrei? The Pasha is nothing. Because all what we know is from Moshe Rabbeinu, and he wasn't wrong. The first sheer klali that Moshe Rabbeinu gave was on Yud-Alef Tishrei. Vayhi mimachras. In Parshas Yisro, says Rashi, Yud-Alef Tishrei. Right? Did we put on tefillin in those days from Vav Sivan to Yud-Alef Tishrei? Probably not. Who taught us how to make tefillin? How do we know it? Now you could say, we heard that Seres Hadibris, and Rashi says in Parshas Mishpatim in the name of Besad Yagoyim, what does Rashi point out? That in Aseres HaDibros, you cannot call a Torah Kula. So Am Yisrael understood everything above Sivan? Because they heard Aseres HaDibros? So then who needs Moshe Rabbeinu for the next 40 years? We know it already above Sivan. Furthermore, when Moshe Rabbeinu coming down after 40 days, says Vayikach Chaloisoi, says Rashi, the Torah was given over to him like a Kala, because otherwise, how could he understand the Torah so in 40 days? Bezman Muat Kazeh. That's Lashon Rashi. So 40 days is Azman Mu'at, one morning, Kavachom will be Azman Mu'at. So Lachor, we did not know anything in those days. From Vav Sivan to Yud-Alef Tishrei, we knew nothing. Did we know how to keep Taras HaMishpacha? I don't know. And yet, the Mishnah Berurah points out that why do we eat dietary products and Shavuos? He says, Shamati Migod Alechot, he's putting someone else without his name though, and Simon Top Tzad Yud-Alef. And when we came back, we were told Hilchos Shchita, Hilchos Nikur, Hilchos Melicha, and we didn't have enough time to cook meat, so we ate whatever was in the kitchen ready, and that's Milchiks. They knew already Hilchos Nikur and Basa B'chalav on Vav Sivan. They knew Hilchos Tarubis and Hilchos Melicha on Vav Sivan? How? Who told it to them? The Aseres HaDibros? So in one day we understood everything? How come no one ever spoke about that Ness? Second of all, again, what I said before, Rashi says, how could Moshe Rabbeinu learn everything in 40 days so we could learn it in one morning? So what did we know? What did we know from Vav Sivan to Yud-Alef Tishrei? If we knew anything, please tell me how. It's not from Moshe Rabbeinu because he's not with us. So we knew it on our own. If we knew everything on our own, so then Moshe Rabbeinu for the next 40 years is just doing chazar? He's chazaring what we know anyway? Zeh lo shamanu. Moshe Rabbeinu who taught us everything. Ketzat said the Mishnah, the Gemara Nerevin. Then Moshe Rabbeinu said it twice, and then Moshe Rabbeinu said it again, and again. We know everything from Moshe Rabbeinu. Yes?
Which lady learning the whole time of this year?
In Mitzrayim? I don't know. The Rambam says that they kept mitzvahs. Were they learning? I don't know. But let's see, what do you want to say? We know it from Shevet Levi?
Not that we know from them, but if they were learning for such a long time, perhaps now the chidush of the Hebrew, now they had something to work on.
So it's not from Moshe Rabbeinu. So it comes out that we know Torah not from Moshe Rabbeinu. That's impossible.
Don't we say that Moshe Rabbeinu had his makor and knew things about himself and about all the heritage? From his father was Amram was the Rav of all
No. We know Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what's written everywhere. Why he's called Moshe Rabbeinu because he taught us Torah. Why isn't he called Moshe Rabbeinuitz? Because he taught Rabbeinu because he taught us Torah. According to that, no, we know it from Shevet Levi, Aseres HaDibros. Who needs Moshe Rabbeinu? Lechora, everything comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam says that then in the Pirush Mishnah is by Gira Noshe, right? The famous Rambam, that why do we do Bris Mila? Even mitzvahs that we did get from the office, it's only because Moshe Rabbeinu told us. Not because Avram Avinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu was unavailable from Vav Sivan to Yud-Alef Tishrei. And on Yud-Alef Tishrei, in one day he taught everything. And one day you could teach Kol Torah Kula. Every Sif Katan of the Shaar Tzion. It's impossible. I haven't seen anybody speak about this Nekuda. What did we know? So the mitzvahs that were given B'mara, here there's a rabbi that gave me the sefer, I just got it now, from Elchanan. Harav Elchanan Adler, Asha Adler, Mitzvahs HaShabbos, Mimora at Sinai. Fine. That I can hear. There were some mitzvahs that we got already from Mora. By the way, from Moshe Rabbeinu as well. That I understand. But Nikur and Basa B'Cholav, they knew already on day one? Who? Who told them? So the Mishnah Berurah says, because we knew it all from Aseres HaDibros. The Mishnah Berurah says in brackets over there, look it up. In Simon Tav Tzadik Yad, we know it from the. He says we know it from Aseres. There was Kamosha Omar Rav Tzadik Goyen. He's quoting the Rav Tzadik Goyen. The Rashi quotes in the end of Parshas Mishpatim. How could that be? And what's the big pillar that Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah after 40 days, if we knew it in one day? I don't have a malach on this. And you know what's even more upsetting? Is no one talks about it. I haven't seen anybody talk about this nekuda. What did we know from Vav Sivan Tidal Tishrei? L'chu'ura, chutz from Aseres HaDibros, nothing. And the Mitzvah Samara. Yeah, that yes. But more than that, I would like to know how we knew it. And if we knew it, who told us? B'sedo Abaisai. Okay, listen, I want just to tell the Oilam, it's the first time I'm here in Yeshiva University. It has a name that Baruch Hashem, that the Beis Medrash is like packed at night till 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. And the Hasmada is Gevaldik. Be'emet Baruch Hashem. And I want to wish you all Hatzlacha, and we should be Zeichet Techag Matan Torah. The Moral points out in Tiferes Yisrael Perek of Zayin. It's not the day of Kabbalah Satorah, it's the day of Matan Torah. It's good to notice this point. Right? It's a day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Anochi Hashem Elokecha, we heard on Zion Sivan. But we're commemorating Shavuos and Vav Sivan. Okay, that's another issue. I want to conclude. I think I mentioned in Shabbos also what Rav Lipnitz Zatzal once told me. From my age, when I was 19 to 22, what your age? That's more or less your age. I had a kviyas with a Ritzel Kutner Zatzal every other Thursday in Yerushalayim. He was my father's Rosh Hashiva. And like my father was nifter when I was 19. So I think now I look back, when I have my own children and grandchildren, I think we're putting like a little bit of doubt in me. He had Rachmanis Amini, he had doubt in me. And I had with him a kviyas every second or third Thursday for 2 hours, we're putting in myself. And I always say, it's hard to explain what it was. It was unbelievable. I never had anything like that, not before, not after. It was like spiritual therapy for 3 years. You came in like, and you came out like full. He was an unbelievable personality and a goyin, and he told me stories of the Gdolei Hador from the previous door, and his chachma, his pikchas, his goyinus, his... I mean, when I entered him the first time, what did I do? In 19, I was a pretty good basketball player. I was. I played in the Israeli league then. When I was, you see, I'm not that tall, but when I was 19, 20, I was very quick, and I could have reached the rim easy with my palm. Easy. I couldn't dunk, I must admit, but pretty close to it. And I go at the age of 19, and I meet this Gadol Hador, and suddenly it was like a boom. And he used to tell me at times things that when I was, at the time, B'Shas Maisa, I didn't appreciate it so much. I was young. When I replay it today, wow, what messages. Most of the time was not a learning. He says it was a sichas chun of Tavadei Chachamim, what he was talking to me. It was so super geschmack. It was like, we were so afraid of him. And we so much loved him at the same time. It's a kind of relationship that's hard to explain. I remember when I used to knock on the door to come in, I was 19, 20 then. You know, you don't shake at that age yet, right? 19, 20. I remember I used to knock on the door like this. Because I was so afraid of him. But there was such Ava and such Yira combined together. It's hard to explain it. Ask old Chaim Berliners, they'll tell you what I mean. But he once told me something gewaldig. Out of the many things. I should start writing it down because before I start forgetting it. He told me, when you hear the name, the Vilna Gaon and the Baal Shem Tov, what's the first thing you feel when you hear these two names? The Vilna Gaon and the Baal Shem Tov. What's your first stomach reaction? Huh? No? Machlokes! Right? The Goyen was the head of the Misnagdim, and the Baal Shem Tov is the one who started Chassidus. Okay. What was the Goyen's main avoida? What did the Goyen devote all his kriches from the age of 3, or before 3, calling Mechayab, to what?
Torah.
Torah, the Goyen's there. Needless to say. What was the Baal Shem Tov's main avoida? What?
Tefillah.
Tefillah. Let's find another word. Simcha. Right? Simcha. Now when big people die, that means they finish their tafkid. That's what it means when a big person dies. The Goyen was nifter on Yud Tes Tishrei, which is smack in the middle of Sukkot's Zman Simchaseinu, in 1798. The Baal Shem Tov died 51 years earlier on Vav Sivan Shavuos. Each one died on the other one's Yom Tov. The Goyen was Nifter in Zman Simchaseinu, and the Baal Shem Tov was Nifter on Zman Matan Torahseinu. What an insight. I asked them, I remember, what is the Rosh Hashanah? Yeah. Like, what does it mean? When I mustered the courage to ask him, usually I didn't ask, what does it mean? If I understood what he told me, and this is only my advice, it means that ba'oimek there was no machlekes. When the Goyen meant Torah, he meant Torah without Simcha. Simcha is part and parcel of Torah. It's not something exterior to Torah. That's what Torah is all about. Vayu advarim smeichim kenesina samesina. The Rosh Hashanah Chazal. And when the Baal Shem Tov said simcha, so in England they say it was happy clappy, just to be happy, he meant to be Torah as well. They were matkish, different points. The Goyen's Torah is with simcha, and the Baal Shem Tov's simcha is with Torah, belishim safek. That's what Rabbi Putna told me. I remember in that time he also told me when he was in his 20s, he was in Eretz Yisrael, and he used to go to Al Gedolei Yerushalayim. He was a very curious man. And he spent one Shabbos afternoon, he had a kesher, a strong kesher, with Rav Yitzchak, a Kohen Cook. And one Shabbos afternoon, they were walking together in Yerushalayim. And apparently Rav Cook, who was a Kohen Olam, he was a little absent-minded. So what happened was, so Rav Cook told afterwards Rav Hutner, who was a guest in Yerushalayim, I don't know how to get back to my home. I'm not familiar. It's a little bit embarrassing if I'm going to go ask people, where do I live? So you know what, I'll stay here on the bench in the park. You go, find a kid who's 6, 7 years old, and ask him, if we'll get home. And like that, we'll get home. What? And that's exactly what happened. Rav Cook sat on the bench. Rav Hutner went away for a while, caught a kid, if we'll get home. Ah, and that's how they reached home. Fine. Tells me Rav Hutner that the next day he met a big chassid of Rav Kook. And Rav Kook and this big chassid said about Rav Kook, Ha Rav Kook boki b'shas ke b'shvili di Yerushalayim. Like the paths of Yerushalayim. The Gemara says ke b'shvili di Nardo. He says ke b'shvili di Yerushalayim. So he told him, Ani mafteach lecha ze harbe yoter masher shvili di Yerushalayim. I just ran into that other story now because that's what happened at the same time. And, you know, he told me stories about the Chofetz Chaim, about the Meir Simcha, about it was a Moritz de Kazakh. And, of course, I would like to also maybe encourage on this Nakuda. You know, the Rambam, we got to finish already, the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvahs does not go according to the order of the Parshias. He divides the Mitzvahs to Mitzvahs Esse and Mitzvahs Leisese. But then he doesn't have, it's not like the Sefer Chinuch, it's according to the Parshias Shavua. It's according to the Chu'ura, significance, importance. The first mitzvah is to know there's Hashem. The second mitzvah is liyachadoi. A mitzvah says it. The third mitzvah is to worship Him. The fourth mitzvah is to love Him. The fifth mitzvah is to fear Him. What do you think would be the sixth mitzvah? You know, look, we're going through the basis of Judaism, right? Probably the sixth mitzvah would be Shabbos, Bris Milah. Yom Kippur, a tefillin. No, would you imagine that's what it would be? You know what's the sixth mitzvah in the Rambam? To get close to Talmidei Chachamim. That's mitzvah number 6. To get as close as possible to Talmidei Chachamim. Because from that you'll reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, obviously has to do with the mitzvahs mentioned before. Mitzvah number 6. Before Shabbos, before Yom Kippur, before Pesach, before all the big ones. Look at the Rambam, Sefer Mitzvahs, you'll see. I met a few Rosh Hashivas here today with the Yeshiva, and they're Bnei Adam Gdoilim, they're big people. Hop around, guys. Take advantage. No, who am I? I can't go bother these Chashiva people. Yes, you could. No! I could tell you that from my age group, when I see those who, the differences, one of the main differences in life is those who had a kesher with the Adam Golo and those who didn't. and those who did are different kind of people. I have a brother-in-law who comes here from time to time, maybe the Olam knows him, Rabbi Aryeh Bergman. Yeah? Aryeh Bergman, a big Eloi. He's my brother-in-law. The two of us are married to two sisters. He was together with Rabbi Ruderman for 3-4 years of his lifetime, and that's it. He's today a man in his almost 50. Mach mishtois. Doesn't make a difference. It's for life. Getting close to Adam Godel, it could be a Rashid, it could be a Choshev, a Avrech. Anyone that, like, if you have a kesher from someone that inspires you and tells you that you could do more, and whatever you're doing, you could do double. That kind of message. He doesn't have to say it with words. It's enough that he personifies it himself. Whatever you're doing, do more. It's a massive thing. If the Rama put it as mitzvah number 6, that means it's up there on the top. Rabbi, say again, I want to wish you all a chag matan Torah, and a mitzvah shevi shevi zeche to be oyle midalga ledalga. Kol tov.